45.
Elon.
Brown, 45.
Hot.
You are listening to Any Given Sunday, Australia.
Yes, hello and welcome to the Any Given Sunday Australia podcast, the number one podcast in this household. Joining me, as always, is our ever-reliable co-hostess, father of the year, can't say premiership player, can't say that.
It's a bit... Haven't been father of the year the last weekend, that's for sure.
How are you, Timmy?
I'm good, mate. How are you going? It's great to see you.
I do want to say that you've had a big 1930s... weekend.
The 1930s called. They want their camera back.
Yeah. Straight into it. I like it. Good. We are having a little bit of technical difficulties on my end, but that's all right. As long as the voice is okay, I'm not too disappointed. But
it sounds all right, mate.
I do want to ask you. You've had a pretty busy weekend.
Sorry, go ahead. Yep.
Did you get your mandatory 4 hours of study in, or as I've written into your contract?
I wouldn't be recording today, mate, if I didn't. You can check the iPad. You'll see the analytics. I was logged in for 4 hours.
Yeah, but I reckon Popstar has just written in and she said, no, he was playing Call of Duty while he was meant to be studying.
She's meant to be my little sidekick.
Yeah, my little 50 bucks here and there, it goes down a tree, don't you worry.
But, look, maybe not as prepared as every week, but hey, here we are.
You are all over it. I'm not worried one bit. Because tomorrow we have football.
Football.
It is football season, so we are back. How good is that?
It's great.
Technically your first real season. I'm pretty excited about that.
Definitely first season where I'm going to be paying proper attention and trying to get a bit more knowledgeable of the game.
Yeah, good.
As we go along.
So it's an exciting episode. We do have a new segment that I alluded to last week. We've got the Bog Dog, Trent Boglis, joining me a little bit later. He'll go through a little bit of college ball, which was a bit exciting this week. There's some big games.
Yep, great idea.
And a little bit of news to start with, but then we'll go through the games and I'll pick against the spread, which we just did just then, and it has come up quite juicy for the punters if they want to get behind it, but...
Oh, boy.
We'll go through that one a little bit later.
Strap in for that.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, absolutely. I'm ready to win some big cash for everyone.
All right, that's what that's what this podcast, and obviously, clearly, you need a new camera. So
I need an update to the Mac like you, mate. We're not all handbags like some. But no, but there was some news, and not too much, but some news that we do have to cover off. Russell Wilson. He has signed a contract extension in Denver. Did you see this one through the week, mate? This was before your big weekend.
I sure did. I'm across this one.
He signed a massive, all the way through to 2028, this will keep him as a Bronco, a five-year, $245 million extension.
Yeah, he's got 2 years of his current contract to run, so this season and next season, and then, the five-year extension. Takes him through to 2028. So the new ownership group. 2028, is that right?
Yeah, correct.
So the new Walter Penner or Walter whatever it was, the ownership group of the Broncos Walter Payton, whatever they are. We've talked about them enough.
Whatever they are.
But they've been able to get the deal done. So he's got 165 mil guaranteed, which is nice. That's big money. I think that's the third. Was that the third biggest guaranteed money of these big mega contracts we've seen recently? Yeah. So I think Deshaun was up at 230 mil.
Yeah, he was fully guaranteed. I reckon Kyler would have been about the same. So it might be.
It was Kyler Murray. Yeah, it was Murray. Yeah, that's right. Yeah.
It'd be about the same, I reckon. But huge I reckon that'd be the standard at the moment. But yeah, I did. There's a simple breakdown on the website that I'm looking at the moment. So this year. He's got $17 million, but I reckon there's some extra guaranteed money thrown in there as well. So he won't be slumming it with the $17 million, but it jumps up pretty quickly. He's got 22 next year, 2023. In 2024, it's up to 35.5. Then it goes 55.5, 58.5, and then comes back down 53.5, and then 54 in 27-28. So yeah,
drops all the way to 53.
Yeah, it's a shame. Like he's probably going to be. Yeah. It dropped $5 million back, in 2027.
Bit of back end money built in there.
Yeah,
but I saw a quote from him that he, you know, he sort of said he wants to play for the next 10 or 15 years still. So obviously he sees himself having a bit of longevity in the game, but wants to. Yeah, stick around at Denver and finish out playing there. So.
Well, yeah, I think a lot of people have been, I don't know, disillusioned by how good Tom Brady has been for so long that they think that they'll be able to do the same. But pre-Tom Brady and, you know, Aaron Rodgers is getting up there as well, and he's obviously back-to-back MVP. He's still kind of throwing around pretty well. But everyone else has seemed to hit that 38, 39 mark and really started to decline. So I don't know how old Wilson is. He's not up that age, but he'd be in his 30s, I reckon.
No, I want to say he's 33. So
yeah, so he's had 10 years.
I want to play for another 10. Yeah, exactly. Yeah. That's why I was a bit shocked when I read it. But
yeah,
he obviously sees himself having a bit of a longer future in the game. But yeah,
it's obviously a good time to be in Denver. Obviously, he got the 245, but we reported here how many months ago, Nikola Jokic got his $250 million there too. So a bit of cash going around in Denver.
Well, isn't it the cousin of one of the one of the group that's got the Broncos?
Peyton or he Penner, owns one of them.
Whatever it is, Peyton Penner. Whatever it is, but they own all the other professional teams in Denver. So between this cousin or whoever it is and this new group, they own every professional. So like the hockey, basketball. I think there was a.
So it'd be Colorado. It'd be the Avalanches in, I'm presuming, in Denver.
Yeah. So. Yeah, they own all the professional sports teams. Yeah.
Yeah. Right. Yeah. Wow.
This was the last piece of the puzzle for their family.
Well, why not? If you can, I would be.
They've got a bit of money behind it.
Yeah. Hey, that's all right, yeah. But I did see an interesting stat, which is only going to grow. Three of the top seven now paid quarterbacks are all from the AFC West. So the Denver Broncos have got...
that's a good little one.
Good little stat. Top seven, but... I'd say top six. Well, no, I guess he's still being paid, isn't he? Deshaun Watson. He's part of the top seven.
Technically, he's still,
he is being paid, I guess. So they've got, obviously, Wilson at the Broncos. They've got Mahomes at Kansas. And, the other one's throwing me. AFC West, mate. Where's your knowledge?
No, don't do this to me. This is your stat.
The only other part of it was that Justin Herbert is the fourth one. He hasn't been paid, but he's coming up. His extension will be not next year. Well, his next year will be 5 years, I reckon, so that won't be that one. It'll be the year after. So he'll obviously join that group as well. Oh, God.
The Broncos, the Chiefs, the Raiders, the Chargers.
The Raiders, yeah. They paid Carr. Your team, you should have known that. they paid Carr not that big of money, but big money as well. So, there's going to be a couple other quarterbacks that will jump up as well, but they'll have the top four quarterbacks will be paid out of there 100%. Because they'll pay Herbert huge money.
Yeah.
So, just a little stat. Moving on, we've talked a little bit already about that one. Mitch Trubisky has been named the Steelers' captain, one of the Steelers' captains. There's a few of them.
Hey, captain.
And a starter for the... Oh, God. This is a really bad start.
The Steelers.
Pittsburgh Steelers. I've got it in front of me. What am I doing? Steelers.
Who had the big weekend, you or me? Who did the homework?
You did more homework than I did. I'll just send it to you. Yeah, so the Pittsburgh Steelers have named him starter and captain. So that's big for when we do go through the teams a little bit later on. Dave, I was looking at this. This is why I got thrown. Dave Bakhtiari is looking good for a week one start.
This is why.
He is the best... tackle in the game, left tackle in the game. He's just going to protect Aaron Rodgers. Oh.
Your cheese-coloured glasses started fogging over and you just couldn't see anything else.
I can't quite put the helmet on, but with these big, I'm going to have to get some better ones. This bad boy right here, the Packers helmet. But, he But I do love, I follow Bakhtiari on Twitter now. I'm very across all the socials. And he put up a hilarious thing about, it's like taking it 1 week at a time. Don't go too soon to whoever the reporter was that came out and said that he's ready. He's just taking it 1 week at a time. So I'm not getting too excited, but the fact that he is on track, even if he doesn't start for the next few weeks anyway, so that's big for him.
It's been 20 months now since he did his ACL, and he obviously had a few complications along the way. That's why it's taken him a bit longer, because did he make a bit of a comeback last year?
So he only he played the one game last year, which was the last game, and he played a half and
again, didn't he? Yeah.
Well, they didn't say that, but he did go out for a little bit. He had to, a clean up or an extra something.
He had to go back in for surgery. Yeah.
But that was kept very hush hush.
More damage to it, but yeah, so that'd be great to see.
Yeah.
One of the knee brazzies getting back into it.
The knee brazzies. I like that. That's good.
We need to make a fraternity or something. I don't know.
Mate, if you can make him a part of your fraternity, that'd be elite.
Well, just quickly too, while we're touching on your cheesy boys.
Yeah.
AGS's very own Alan Lazard, he's apparently just been doing a bit of work on the sidelines with the rehab team. So they've been a bit tight-lipped. They haven't said, you know, what the reason is why he's been so away from sort of main practice, just off to the side. So they didn't say why. But
he was one of the only ones who on our roster that didn't participate in practice during the week. So a little bit concerning, but friend of the show, Alan Lazard.
He is our man, so you might have to hit him up. And
yeah, I'll send him a message and make sure he's all right. I'm confident he'll get out there, but that was very disappointing to see.
While we're talking about Alan, give you some props again. A really, really good job on the interview with him, mate. And he was so generous with his time. And,
he was,
everything that, you know, the answers that he gave. So well done to you. That was a really, really good listen. I hope everyone enjoyed that one.
I definitely enjoyed it. You could hear early on I was very nervous.
I could tell you you got comfortable though, and I could tell you were starting to enjoy yourself, and that was brilliant, mate.
The time did fly, but it was I'm sure this isn't very groundbreaking news. I'm gonna try and see if we can get him back during the year and we'll have another chat. But we'll see. Fingers crossed. Other people also are in the pipeline. Hopefully I can get them across the line.
Watch this space. That's it.
Thanks, mate. I really appreciate it. The Eagles have sent the offensive tackle, Eagles and Bears, have sent offensive tackle Jason Peters to the Cowboys. Now, this is big news, especially for someone of your elk, mate. He's 40.
I knew you were going to
say that. He's a 40 and he's signed to play this year.
I did see that. So he's going to start out with the practice squad, I believe.
Yeah.
And they brought him in for some depth at left tackle because Tyrone Smith went down. And so then rookie Tyler Smith, don't get confused there, he's expected to start at left tackle.
Yeah.
And they're bringing in Peters for a bit of depth. So
starting the practice squad. It's a sign by necessity, it's got written here. So
because they're expecting Tyrone Smith to possibly be out until at least December.
Yeah, if not longer.
So they need to obviously replace him through necessity, as you said.
Through necessity. So just plugging some holes.
Good on the old boy. Yeah. Good on the old boy getting it done.
If you can 40 years of age. Yeah, offensive tackle. It doesn't have to be overly... You know, he's not going to be out there running hundreds every week, but, mate, as long as he gets through gets through the week, then, fucking hell, it's good on him. If I'm still playing at 40, I'll be stoked. Good on him.
Yeah.
The Bears, we spoke about this within the last month, I reckon. They've set out plans. What'd you say? Master plans, weren't they? Master plans for their new stadium.
Yeah, it's like
So they're planning to be out of Soldier Field, which is only one of two remaining stadiums that don't have a sponsor, would you say that? A name?
A naming right.
Yeah.
Naming right.
Punch. So the other being Lambeau, which will never have a name, other than Curly Lambeau. but they're planning to be out of there by 2027, which is a little bit disappointing.
Yeah, what they've released is the preliminary master plan vision. So obviously things could change quite a bit.
Yeah.
Between now and the time that they're planning to be out. But, this is obviously like the original concept that they're looking at going with and, the plan they're putting forward. So it's going to be a domed stadium. another dome stadium. So
I wonder, I reckon you brought this up last time. I wonder if this is it's all about it's politics, which is unfortunate.
Playing politics, because the city of Chicago don't want them to leave.
No, that's right. So I wonder if this is like, we're going to put it out there and, you know, if they think wheels are in motion, maybe they'll be able to upgrade Soldier Field. That's what I'm thinking. A bit of pressure on them, say, hey, we've got 2027 set down.
Yeah.
You know, if you want to keep them, let's start.
We've got the plan in place. You need to tick boxes A, B, C, D for us at Soldier Field
to stay.
If you want us to stick around.
Yeah.
That could be,
I wonder.
Make some mind games. Yeah. Doesn't cost much to put out a little artist rendering, does it?
No, that's it. Not the hundreds of millions that I imagine it would cost to build it, but.
No, just get the intern, to whip up something, a graphic design.
Yeah. I've been a lot of graphic design lately, and I'm pretty shit at it, but
yeah.
I've tried. But I was listening to the Pat McAfee show, and the boys were saying, for those who, there'd be a lot of players that would live in Chicago, and like most cities, I imagine, they said it's only 30 miles northwest of the city.
But
30 miles, which is
out a little bit.
Yeah, they said it's probably a half an hour, 40-minute trip. But city traffic, it could be a two-hour trip.
Yeah.
That'd be shit house most days. So
there could be some rumblings from the playing group. Yeah, it was like when, remember when St Kilda moved down to Moorabbin? Are they still there?
They are still there, yeah.
Oh, they are still there.
Well, didn't they move away from Moorabbin and then they're spiritual?
I thought they did, yeah.
Spiritual home.
Yeah.
And they brought them back.
Now, NFL supporters won't know what we're talking about.
Nah, that's it. Aussie rules. Yeah. But, the Bills Mafia. So I have heard that these guys are one of the best group of supporters going around, very enthusiastic, you might say. They have a thing. Have you ever heard of the Bildo?
Not the Bildo, no. I was going to say, I know the Bills Mafia. What's the Bildo?
I don't know how many games this has happened, but they've thrown like big dildos on the field. So they're called the Bildo because it's the Bills Mafia's dildo.
Like a single dildo or multiple dildos?
I've seen with multiples on the field before. I don't get exactly why they did it, but it got banned during COVID because they said that it could pass.
If you've got COVID
and you're throwing it on there, we don't want our players touching it. So that's got nothing to do with this story, but it's just a funny one to bring up. But
funny anecdote there.
It is actually quite a nice story by the Bills Mafia. So they've banded together and they've donated, I think it's over $200,000 now, to a pediatric cancer charity in memory of Dawson Knox. 225 now, is it? So still climbing. Good on them. In memory of Dawson Knox, their big tight end, his brother who passed away, I think it was late August. Mid-August. Yeah. So he was at college an unexpected. I don't believe it has something to do with cancer. They didn't say how he died, but.
So Dawson was quite involved with this charity, this pediatric cancer collaborative.
It's called Punt.
Dawson's been quite involved with it throughout his time at the Bills. So I think that was where the link was. A lot of people were donating $16.88. His numbers. So obviously there's been a lot to get up to 225K that, that's just shows.
I don't think they were all $16.88. It might have been $16,088, but yeah.
A lot of them were.
Yeah,
so.
In the same.
No, but I'm just saying it just shows the, like you were saying, the good nature of the mafia.
Yeah, I love it. It's brilliant. It's good to see.
Get behind it there.
I think it'd be more spread than just the Bills Mafia, but just the kind of fans that we got going around. So it's nice to see. And going to a pediatric cancer, I don't think there's any better cause than that kind of stuff.
Could not agree more. So
a good news story too. That is our news done for the week.
Short and sharp.
I reckon that was the quickest news we've had, besides maybe the very first episode where I talk shit for 5 minutes by myself.
I was going to say, we've been talking bulk rubbish, so we just talked less rubbish today.
Yeah, nice. Well, to the point, because we're excited, we want to get to, we've got Boggo coming up next. We're going to ship it over to Boggo to talk a bit of college ball. We got the AGS Nuffy after that, and then we're going to get into week one previews. So we'll ship it over to Boggo and talk a bit of college ball.
Let's get into it.
All righty. Joining me now live from the 3077 is Any Given Sunday's self-proclaimed college insider, a fellow Green Bay man, and our very own Macedonian Marvel, Trent Bogless. How are you, mate?
Very good. Thank you, mate. Thanks for having me in to the T-Max studios. It's an honour and a privilege, mate.
Yeah.
So happy to be here, mate, and contribute some college footballing news for the big operation you've got going.
Yeah, thanks, mate. Welcome to the lab. I do appreciate you coming on board. I do want to tell the people out there, I put you to the test and you've come up trumps early. You put a bet out there. I just wanted to see how your college mind worked. And you told me Clemson at the line. Now
I did give that to the boys, mate. I did give that one out.
About five minutes left in the third, they were up by seven. And was it, who did they play? I can't remember. Georgia Tech, maybe? Had the ball. I thought, you've absolutely fucked me here. But true to form, Clemson came out big in the last and they ended up winning by 30. So you do know your college ball.
Yeah, mate.
You know your college ball. I love it.
I do, mate. The line was, at, I think, 24 roughly, and they got up by 31. So, Georgia Tech, I think it was.
It was
so
Georgia Tech, 40, yeah.
41 to 10, mate. So there you go, mate. Happy days.
Happy days. I reckon we might have to get a few multis off money. You later in the year, I reckon.
I might have put one together cheekily for this app, mate. Ooh. So we might throw that one out there. Cheeky little one to get things started.
Nice. You have to send it through to me and I'll put it on the socials. I love it.
Beautiful, mate.
You said in our little run sheet you want to go through just a recap of last year, and then we'll do some predictions and then talk about a couple of games from the weekend. So do you want to recap what happened at the end of last year?
I do, mate. Yeah, I'll give a quick little rundown. So champions were the Georgia Bulldogs. They did play in the championship game and beat Alabama Crimson Tide. It was 18-33. So they won it convincingly in the end. It was a good game. I think Bama went in favourites. They were strong all year, the top two teams. But the top four were all pretty close, but Alabama stood out. But Georgia got over the top. And, 18-33. Bama actually had the Heisman Trophy winner, which was Bryce Young, the quarterback for Alabama. And I think he's going to go back-to-back this year. That's a little prediction of mine. And another little recap for last year. My team is the USC Trojans out of California there. And they went 4-8, so they had a shit-house year. They've got a new coach, and things are looking up there. They're off to a good start. I think they won round week one. What did they win? They won. Yeah, so with the new coach, they got the chocolates. They beat Rice 66-14. So I'll take that.
That's not a bad start.
Thank you, Lincoln Riley, the new coach from Oklahoma. Yeah, I'll take it, mate. So they're going to be some big improvers this year as well, my boys. So I'll take that after last year.
Yeah.
But, so that's a little recap from last year.
Just before, you did say, you mentioned to me before, how many players from Georgia had gone to the NFL?
Georgia, they've
been no, sorry, not mate. Not was it Georgia? Yeah, seven, was not Georgia.
Georgia, yeah, Georgia. Georgia. Georgia lost 17. So they were the champions, and they were the champions, Georgia.
17 players to the NFL.
They've lost
that's
17,
huge.
Mate, to the NFL. So, yeah, they had a little bit of rebuilding to do, but I think going by week one result, they've done pretty well and hit the ground running.
Yeah,
they've retained their quarterback as well, who's an absolute champion. But, I reckon for mine this year, Alabama, they'll win the college football playoff, the championship game. They've got, as I said, the Heisman Trophy winner, Bryce Young, who's an absolute superstar. He's got a rocket of an arm, can throw some TDs, and he can also run the ball. They've got a good spread of talent in their offense and a real solid defense as well, led by the outside linebacker, Will Anderson. who apparently has been mentioned in Heisman contention. So he might give his teammate a run.
Yeah,
right. Brycey boy a run for his money.
Taking
mate.
Votes off each other. That's not ideal.
Just blitzing off the line and stopping the, yeah, just stopping the offense, offense of the other teams, mate. So, yeah, two-way battle there, mate. So, but then I've got Georgia ranked number two. I reckon they'll have an outstanding year, even though they've lost their 17. They've got, yeah, their QB from last year again, Stetson Bennett. He's an absolute superstar as well. And he'll be in contention as well for the Heisman again. And they've got a really solid defense, so they'll go a long way. I think they've recruited well. So, yeah, they've still got heaps of talent in the pool there. Ohio State, number three, they'll go really well. They looked good. They beat Notre Dame 21-10 week one. So they're off to a flyer. It's always good beating a top five ranked team in week one. And again, they won't be a surprise even if they challenge for the championship. But I reckon it's the other two going to fight it out. I've got Notre Dame in at number four. Even though they went down in week one to Ohio State, but they've got a stacked roster, strong on both offense and defense, so they're always up there every year. And I've got Clemson in there as well, in top five. Again, a solid defense. Offense in week one was questionable early on, but yeah, they came
finished
good,
off strong,
as we just spoke about. Yeah. Yep. So once they got rolling, they were good to go, and got the points on the board. I think Michigan will have a good year. Baylor, Texas A&M, the Aggies, Oklahoma Sooners will go well. The Florida Gators, the Dwayne the Rock Johnson's mob, they'll go real well this year. They'll be a big improver, and they had a good win to kick things off round one. And Texas, I think Texas Longhorns will go well. They've got one bloke, Bijan Robinson, who's their running back, and he's been mentioned in Heisman calculations as well. So bit going on there. And my team, the Trojans, will be big improvers.
Oh, he's caught it early.
So there's my predictions. And also, this year, we want to keep an eye on Australia, Melbourne's own Hugh the Bull Robertson.
Where's he out of?
He's an Australian. He was from he's from Seymour boy. Went to Assumption College. He was part of VicPol. He's given that all up and he's head off overseas and he's landed at Illinois. So he's playing for the Illinois Fighting Illini. He's starting punter this year. He's been over for a few years now. I think he went over just when as COVID hit. So he had a tough couple of first seasons. Over in Illinois, but he's coming good now. And he started in week one. He had eight punts, averaged 37 yards, and his longest was 51 yards. And big news, Tim.
I was going to say, is there a special reason why we're keeping an eye on him?
There is, mate. Because we're friends with him on the show, and we got onto him. I told him the good things, the good work that you've been doing on this podcast, mate. And I asked, would you mind coming on the show, big fella? And he was happy to oblige, and he's excited, mate, to come on and share his story and ins and outs of college life and college footy over there on your potty, mate.
Thank you,
Bull.
Breaking news here. That's awesome to hear, mate. You're a talent, like an agent talent or talent agent or whatever. You're just bringing in the big guns, mate. I love it. So next time we have you on, we're hoping to have the Bull. Is that what you said?
The Bull, mate. Nice. That's what we call him. He's just a brute of a lad. I'm sure he probably doesn't really stack up in the teams that they've got going over there with the big, you know, the big offensive line and the defense, and they're absolute monsters. So he'd, he probably wouldn't stack up there. But he over here, mate.
He's the Bull over here.
He's a Bull, mate.
Nah,
he's a fighter.
That's awesome. So, yeah, more big things, more big names to come out. We've just the Bull at number one and then Alan Lazard at number two. I love it. That's gross.
Mate, speaking of Alan Lazard, what a champion, what a legend of a bloke. I enjoyed that potty, mate. your interview. It was very good. Well done.
I appreciate it, mate. Thank you.
And what a good bloke coming on and sharing his story and, yeah, giving us some insight into his life and, you know, the challenges he's faced and, you know, the mentality that he's got.
Yes.
At the top.
And I dare say, well, I hope that we can have him on again in the future, Alan. So that'll be great. You've definitely very given us a few people to watch, which is good. I like, is it Bijan Robertson, did you say? I like the sounds of him, so he'll be good.
Yes, mate, yeah.
But there was a couple of games that I got to watch, and you got me onto watching over the weekend. You want to speak about the LSU versus the Florida State game, mate? What happened there?
Okay, yeah. So that for mine, and probably yours, was the game of the rounds. I had a great finish, had a great final few minutes. So LSU would have gone in as favourites, I'm assuming. Florida State, okay, so a couple of missed kicks, a couple of missed fair catches. And 4 minutes to go, Florida were leading 24-10.
Cool.
4 minutes to go, there was a nice play from LSU, a nice little receiving tutty, and they got the extra point. 17-24. This brought us down to, just inside 4 minutes maybe. Florida State then went three and out. They punted. It was a solid punt. It went down. And the LSU receiver waved for a fair catch. And wouldn't you believe it, fumbled it. And Florida State recovered. So
you think game over there. That is done. Game over.
You would. I think it was about 2 minutes.
Oh, not even. It was under 2 minutes to go. Just, under 2 minutes.
Yeah, on the clock. So at their 8-yard line too, at LSU's 8-yard line. So you'd think that that's game over. But no, I think it was on their third down. They were running the ball and
fumble.
At the 1-yard line, I think it was too.
Yeah.
So, yeah, a couple of fumbles there, mate, in the last when that 2 minute mark. So then they've had to go down the field 99 yards, and with I think about a minute 20 left, roughly a minute on the clock. They had a minute 20 left to go down the down the field, and they did with 1 second left on the clock, threw a touchdown, scored a touchdown, and. You would think that they'd kick the, convert the extra point for overtime. Would you think that'd happen? Yeah, you would. 9 times out of 10.
Oh,
but no.
99 out of 100. 99 out of 100, they would kick it. And
It was a blocked kick for the extra point, mate. So Florida State won 24-23.
Oh, yeah.
That was a great one. That was probably game of the round for me. The other one that stood out, which was the North Carolina. That Tar North Hills, Carolina yep. beat, yes, they beat Appalachian State 63-61. So a very high scoring game. But more impressively was Appalachian State scoring 40 in the last quarter to almost get the chocolates. That would have been an unbelievable performance. It was an unbelievable performance, but they just couldn't get the chocolates, mate. And I think they were the first team in 15 years to score 40 in the last quarter. But it was also to North Carolina's credit. They scored 22 in the last to get them over the line. So, yeah, that was a great game. And Appalachian State's QB was Chase Bryce. He threw 25 completions out of 26 throws for 361 yards, 6 touchdowns, and he threw only one interception, which was his only incomplete pass. So he's had an outstanding game to almost get the boys over the line. So well done to you, Chase. That's an outstanding performance, mate.
He's a big listener to the pod, so he'll be hearing that, mate.
I reckon just give him words of encouragement, mate, and I think he'll continue to perform really well as he did in week one. And they've got a big game week two too, so we'll look at that.
Mm. But that game, so we actually, that was part of my multi. We had North Carolina to win, so they got the chocolates. But in that last quarter, there was 10 touchdowns in the last quarter combined, and five within the last 2 minutes. So I only saw the highlights, but it was an absolute crazy finish to the game.
Defense played well.
Oh, defense decided to stay in the sheds at three-quarter time. I don't know if it was cold, but fuck, they must have been, fuck this, we're staying inside. But that's ridiculous. What a game.
Yeah. No one likes defense anyway, mate.
No, that's it. We want 60 to 60 every week.
100%, mate, 100%. A couple other games I might mention, just go through a couple of scores. I think we mentioned the Notre Dame, Ohio State, was, you know, both ranked in the top five. Ohio State won that one. They just wore the Fighting Irish down, 21 to 10. They got the chocolates. Bama, Alabama, they just off to a hot start, mate. They looked really, really good. Bryce Young, he played just over a half and he threw for 195 yards. Five touchdowns he threw for, and he also ran for an extra 100-plus yards, including one 63-yard scramble, which, you know, if you Google it, it's a good little highlight to add to his package. So, that would have been a good touchdown, but got stopped at the 15, mate. There was too many blokes on the field, I think. So.
Nice.
But anyway,
he started his Heisman back up not too bad by the sounds of it.
He has, mate. He has, 100%. So Dwayne The Rock Johnson's Florida Gators, they upset Utah 29-26, I think, as underdogs. So I'm not sure. I think it was meant to be a pretty good match, which it turned out to be. So they're off to a flyer. They're up for a big year. They're going to be big improvers. I've got them in top 10. Baylor had a 69-10 victory over Albany. And the Georgia Tech game was a good one. Clemson, once they got going, got the points on the board late in the game, 41-10 there. Week two, mate. I'm looking forward to the Trojans having another win out of USC. They've got Stanford. So I've got the Trojans winning that one. And also another game I'm looking forward to is Bama. I always love watching Bama and Brycey boy. They're up against Texas and Bijan, so that's gonna be a good little game, I reckon. I think the line is minus 18 to Bama, roughly. So it should be a good game, but who knows, mate? If the Tech Longhorns are playing well, mate, they could push for it. So it's unlikely. It's unlikely. How good Bama looked week one, but. So I've got them winning, I'm looking forward to seeing those guys in action. Got Texas A&M Aggies against Appalachian State, so I rate the Aggies, and I'm looking forward to seeing what Chase can do in week two, mate, if he holds his form up against Texas A&M, mate. That'd be a good effort by him. I've got Texas winning that one. Probably match of the round, game of the round for me is Florida Gators against the Kentucky Wildcats. I think that'll be a good hit out there. Gators are currently ranked now at 12, and the Kentucky Wildcats at 20. So that will be a good game to round things out. So that's pretty much it, mate, for the little rundown for week one. Sorry I couldn't get on before the season had kicked off.
That's all right.
You had a couple of superstar guests come in, mate. The Drew Cave, what a setup. That's what dreams are made of. And big Alan Lazard, mate. So, hey, look, I'm happy to follow Alan. You know, you're just going up and up. So.
And you've come out hot, mate. I love it.
Anything for you, mate. Nah. I'll just... follow your lead.
Nice.
Do you things and happy to be on board.
Nah, appreciate it, mate. I love it. We've spoken about it for a long time, so I love the fact that you've actually come on. Do you? Before I do let you go, do you have your multi ready to go, or am I just putting it up on the socials?
I can, mate. I can run through it quickly.
Yeah, go quickly. You got 60 seconds. Yeah. Let's go.
Okay, mate. So Texas Bama game we spoke about, I think it would be high scoring. So I'm going to go over on points, so over 65 points. Notre Dame at the line to beat the line minus 20.5. We've got the Texas A&M versus Appalachian State. I reckon high scoring. Go overs again, 52.5 points, total points. Illinois, we're going to follow Hugh the Bull Robertson,
nice.
The punter from Australia, to win. So head-to-head, he said they should have won last week. They went down by 3 points to Indiana. So they're going to bounce back here. Florida Gators to beat Kentucky in that last game we spoke about. Though, multi those in on Neds and pump it up. $17 you'll get for that.
Juicy.
So throw a couple of bucks on that,
I'm going to get around it, mate. You helped me out week one, so I'm going to get around you on this one. $17, you beauty.
Mate. Just put your winnings off from week one, mate.
Yeah, shit. You're about to hear my my very juicy multi. So if I put that winnings on there, we'll be very, very off, well off. nice, mate. That's pretty much all we've got time for, mate. Like I said, I love the fact that you've come on. We're going to get Hugh the Bull on in the next few weeks, and you'll join him. And like I said,
you're very keen, mate.
You'll be able to go through just some winners and losers, and some movers and shakers in the actual rankings, which will be good. I'm actually really, and I reckon a few of the boys are really looking forward to this one.
I hope so, mate. I hope all the viewers and listeners enjoy it, mate.
I'm sure they will.
Keep up the good work, team, mate. And we'll speak soon, brother.
All right, mate. I'll speak to you soon. All righty. Welcome back. We're back with Timmy after speaking some college ball with Boggo. Did you see that wild game, LSU versus Florida State, mate?
I saw the highlights. So I saw the last minute 20, I guess, was, the main crazy bit that you're talking about. But, yeah, I saw the highlights and then the blocked extra point at the end. Wow.
Mate, that was crazy. And those Florida State, I saw some videos afterwards. Getting into the LSU fans was, epic. And there's also news.
The players were.
Yeah, like really good. Oh, and LSU fans were the one-fingered salute back.
obviously not too.
I
happy.
Don't blame them, to be honest. I don't blame them.
Yeah.
But then there's been news. Breaking news, I guess, that the wide receiver from LSU. I probably should have said this with Boggo, but I didn't. The wide receiver from LSU has gone down the path of. He's deleted his all the things off socials. So apparently not happy. Not happy. About. Yeah. So it'll be interesting to see what happens there.
Okay.
But yeah, we come to the, I'll say it's the number one segment that we have, depending on how we go with my picking against the spread. That might become the number one if I win.
If you get up on that, I'll happily pass the torch.
Yeah. So for the moment, the number one segment, the Any Given Sunday NFL Nuffy, mate. What's our segment this week?
Still waiting for you to make an open up, but that's okay.
Yeah. Ooh. I can do that now. I've got the media. I should be.
I know. I don't know why you're wasting it.
Yeah, sorry. I'll get onto that this week. That's my job.
This week, for the NFL Nuffy, we would like to talk about game day. So, but in specifics, we want to talk about scoring and rules.
Okay.
So, obviously, rules, quite a big topic. We're not going to go into depth of every single rule, but we're going to try and scratch the surface a little bit. But to start us off, just give us a breakdown of all the types, all the ways that you can score and what everything's worth. So
okay.
Real Nuffy breakdown.
Real Nuffy. So obviously the main way you can score is a touchdown. So do you mean like you can throw, you can pass a touchdown?
A touchdown? What is this?
The touchdown with the referee is two hands in the air. That is a touchdown.
Exactly. So what it is, what it's worth, and how you... Exactly how you score it.
So how you score it, I reckon, is the easiest way to start. You can have one in the air, a passing touchdown, or a rushing touchdown, where obviously you're running, usually a running back or a quarterback that has
little,
rushed.
Little quarterback sneak. Yeah.
Quarterback sneak. I think the biggest rule to say with that one, right, so if you are rushing or running towards it, you just have to break the plane of the front white line.
You can break the plane and the ball can get pushed back. It doesn't have to stay.
As long as it breaks the plane. Not an arrow, like a laser, say. There's not, but pretend there's a laser. If that laser
an invisible force field.
Force field. As soon as a little point of that ball gets past that, it's a touchdown.
So not even the whole ball.
No, just as long as it's broken.
Yep.
But if you're...
That's on a rushing...
Rushing ball, or if you've caught it. As long as you're running into the end zone.
And you're running in.
So if you've caught it and run in, same thing. But if you're catching it in the end zone, you have to, you're obviously in the end zone first, like the ones where they do the big toe drags.
Yep.
You have to have two body parts touching or a major body part, like your bum. That counts as a major body part. So a lot of them will be, you have to have both feet. So college, you only have to have 1 foot down. That's where a lot of the players will struggle, different size balls, but the same as a sideline when they're catching in the sideline, you only have to have 1 foot. But in NFL, you have to have 2 feet down, or a foot and a hand, or a foot and another major part, which is like your back or your bum or something like that.
Yeah.
So that's those two. That's the way you score. What they're worth is 6 points, and then you get you can either take the point after kick, worth one, or you can go for a 2 point conversion, which, believe it or not, worth 2 points, which is just another snap from, I believe, off the top of my head, I reckon it's the 3 yard line.
I was going to say it's within the 10, isn't it?
Yeah, comfortably. I want to say the 3 or 4 yard line.
Yep.
You just get another play pretty much, like any other normal play, but you only get one. If you cross and pretty much you score another touchdown the same way, it's worth 2 points. That's always handy. That's a strategic one because it's like if you're up by...
It can give you that separation of...
Yeah, that's it. If you're up by... Say you score the touchdown and you go up by one, there's almost no point kicking the point after to go up by two, because if they kick a field goal, which is worth 3, well, you're up by 2. So they kick a field goal, they go up by 3. Just, so there's no point being one or two. There's no difference. So you go for the 2 point conversion, you can then go up by 3, then it makes a difference with the field goal. So yeah, that's just the 2 point conversion is more a strategic play.
It's going to depend on the you know, the time of the game.
Yeah, 100%. And the scenario. What quarter and, you know. Yeah, absolutely.
Do you generally see them a bit more if a team is, say, going for a win, like they're on the last sort of drive of a game or, you know?
Yeah, so that's always the, do you take, if it levels at one point behind, do you take the kick and go into overtime or do you go for the two? If you've got a bit of momentum, you know, if you've, like, there was a game, like I just spoke to Bogo about, where Appalachian State, who was in our multi last week, the Bastards, we bet against them, so it was good. But they scored 40 in the last.
Yeah.
So if you're coming in
wet sail,
if you're coming home with 40, I'd almost back. You know, there's no defense playing that game. Let's go for the 2 points. You know, so definitely a game situation kind of, situation, I guess.
Yeah.
A field goal, which is what we said, is, you know, so you can kick it at any point. But if you're fourth down and you're not within, you know, it might be more than 1 or 2 yards that you need, a lot of people are going to go with a field goal, take the 3 points. The biggest field goal ever kicked was 66 yards last year by Justin Tucker of the Baltimore Ravens, just a little stat.
That was our man, the number one kicker. Yeah, we talked about him a couple weeks ago.
Yeah, the one who's been paid. 66 yards, that's that is a monster kick. But now there's videos I'm kicking from 70, like there's some big... But having the balls and to do it during a game is a different story.
Yeah.
You can have a pick six, which suggests a name. It's worth 6 points, which is where an interception and run in by the defense. Or the same thing can be from a fumble, you know, either the quarterback or the running back or the fullback if he's running with it. Fumble the ball, you can pick it up and run it in. That's still a pick six, but it's just not caught. The only other way... I think that you can score. I don't think there's any more. Is a safety, which is the quarterback or the running backs tackled in their own end zone.
Yeah.
There is also, you can also, if they step out the back, which has famously happened once or twice, if they step out of the back of the end zone, it's a safety, which is worth 2 points.
2 points. Okay.
Yeah. I think that is all the ways you can score.
I don't know any others. So.
But, yeah, the safety is another one there. Just that's another way the defense can score.
Yeah.
But yeah.
And you don't see too many safeties given
away. No, they're pretty rare. No. So that's Dan Orlovsky, I think the guy's name. He's on, again, another one off the Pat McAfee show that I listened to. It was his first game, played for the Detroit Lions, and went on a big scramble out the back and ran out the back. First game, and he gave away a safety.
Oh, he ran himself out the back.
Yeah, ran out the back. So I think he just stood just out the back, like out of the end zone. And that's a safety, brother. In your first game, you've given up 2 points.
Not a great way to start the career.
No. But, yeah.
Yeah.
Beautiful. Nice. Yeah, mate, what's next? I'm primed. I'm feeling good.
Moving, it sounds like you've covered off everything scoring wise. Moving into sort of more rules based questions and, you know, things around that. How many on field refs are there game day?
Oh, fuck. So there's one main ref.
Yep.
He's, so they wear different color hats.
Yes.
I reckon.
It's almost like he's like, yeah, he's like the ref captain.
Yeah. Well, he'd be the main ref. And then there'd be, I reckon, three. There'd be one. There might be more than three. There's at least three. And so they're the sideline refs as well.
Yeah.
So I reckon there's one on each side and then the main.
So who's the main? The main ref is he's going to spot the ball.
Yeah, actually.
And then the sideline judges, do they give him a bit of an indication of, because obviously that is quite crucial in terms of, you know, if you're third and inches, fourth and inches, whatever.
Yeah. So
spotting of the ball.
There might be a fourth one in there. He's the one that'll spot the ball.
Okay.
And then the main ref kind of stamps back and he'll overlook everything. So I reckon there's four. There'll be two on field.
Yep.
And then one two sidelines.
One in the offensive end and one in the defensive end.
Yep. And then two on the side, the one on each sideline.
Yep.
So the sideline ones are obviously watching for when players go out.
Yeah.
They'll spot the ball where the players go out.
And then they're gonna park themselves where they think along the sideline where the ball should be spotted, and that'll give the central umpire a bit more of an indication too.
Yeah. And so the central umpire, he's also mic'd up. So he's the one you see him play with his pocket and then he'll
talk. So when they'll come in for a conference to talk about, you know, a penalty or whatever.
Yeah. Why'd you throw the flag?
Yeah. And any on-field ref can throw out a flag.
Correct.
If they see something. Yep.
And the flags, just so they're not thrown willy-nilly, they are usually thrown in the direction of where the foul was.
Yep. Because you see them, like, you see them give them a bit sometimes.
Yeah, sometimes so
that's
really...
That's the reason behind that.
Yeah. Yeah. It should land roughly where the... Like, so if it's in the backfield or downfield, they'll throw it to roughly where it is, and that'll give an indication
of where it happened.
Of where... Yep. You know, if it's a spot foul, you know, that could be where the ball's actually spotted.
Mm-hmm. So, okay.
Yeah.
Interesting. So then
I want to say four. I'll be fact checked. Dave from Wallen will be all over this.
Someone will pull you up. I hope someone does. I wish I did my own research.
Yeah. That would have been an idea.
So then for reviewed plays, that's in they're based in New York, aren't they? Correct. All plays that get reviewed are reviewed through New York. So
yeah, so I reckon only in the past probably 5 or 6 years, they've made it a central location, yeah.
Yeah, and why is that? Just
to keep it as...
consistent?
Consistent, yeah, not unbiased, but yeah, just a real central. So they'll be, I can't say how many, there'll be ex-refs or ex-players and stuff. They'll be all there, because on a Sunday, you know, there's...
quite a few games going on, yeah.
Four or five games at a time. So they'll be, you know, we've got a decision here, we've got a decision there, yeah. So it's all centralized in New York.
And so coaches will get two reviews a game, is it? And then they get a third if their two reviews are correct, I believe.
It sounds like you did a little bit of research. I'll back you with that one, yeah.
Now, this is how the review system works, yeah?
Yeah. So they go off. Is it like, it's not like other sports where if you get it right, you keep it. Might be. If you get it right, you might be able to keep it.
Okay. And if they get...
If they get it wrong, you lose it. If you get it wrong, you definitely lose it. I know that one.
Yep. Yep.
I have a feeling if you get it right, you might keep it. Oh, God. Under the pressure. It's good.
Yeah. Right. Okay.
But, yeah, definitely if you... And in the last 2 minutes, nothing can be reviewed.
Yes.
By the coaches, yeah. All touchdowns are reviewed on by the... probably New York, but they're all reviewed before they're confirmed.
But certain plays and penalties, that's where the coaches will review things, spotting the ball, that sort of stuff.
Yeah. So spotting of the ball, yeah. So if they called it their third down, they need 5 yards and the ref only gives them four, might be fourth and inches, they might get 4.5, give them fourth and inches. They can review the spot. So they might be able to get the third down or the first down by where the spot was.
Through review, yeah.
Yeah.
All right. So I've heard... a few times, the term the no fun league, the NFL, the no fun league.
Yeah.
Have you heard this before?
Yeah. That was particularly last year it came in.
Yeah. So can you elaborate on that your understanding of that.
And so I think the biggest rule that they really, they got focus rules. So last year, the biggest rule they focused on was taunting. So you see players, you know, especially after scoring or a big play, they will hype each other up. You know, a lot of people say they don't understand why they get so excited about a tackle or something like that. But, you know, if you're only making these kind of plays two, three, maybe, you know, once a year or something like that, you're going to get up and about. There was one definitely last year. Carlson, maybe? Might have been your Raiders. A big play, stopped them on a third down. And he got up. Oh, was it from the Bears? He did like a big karate kick. He did it in the middle of the field, but he just happened to be. And like you watch the footage, I can't remember where he's from. I was watching it live, and you just sit there going, "How good's that?" He's just like the situation. So he was on a 1 year contract. He just made a massive play that could get him a contract next year.
Yeah,
you know, like. Things like that. So he's gotten up and about, did this big spinning kick in the middle of the field, but finished facing the opposition bench.
Yeah.
So the referee threw the flag and said, you're taunting them.
So, I've seen this rule written down. So it's about acts of violence. You can't do like little finger guns.
Can't be directed.
Punching towards,
You're allowed to celebrate, but it can't be at someone. And all the time, you see, if they make a big tackle, they're taunting that person. Or if they catch a big touchdown, they're torn out. But it is what it is. But, they really wanted to try and stamp it out last year. I think it's been relaxed a little bit, which would be good because you need the personalities. And, like, seeing that guy do a big spinning heel kick, I can't remember his name. Like, it was awesome to see. Like, it was a massive play. It gets the crowd involved. Even if you're away, you know, it shuts the crowd up. Like, it's awesome.
Yeah.
And then to see the ref throw
it. We love the characters in the game. Like, yeah,
that's it.
Let the boys play. Let them have their fun.
Yeah. And if it's a fringe player and he's made a big play, he could set up his career with that kind of shit. So I'd be getting up and about too. So.
And so the college is, correct me if I'm wrong, college is even – Are they even more strict
in terms of
100% and the taunting side of things?
100%.
Yep.
Especially like celebrations of touchdowns.
Over celebrating touchdowns, like that's quite officiated quite heavily in the college. Yeah.
So they don't lose the touchdown, but they'll be penalised on the next.
They can be penalised on the restart. Yeah. So can you give us a few of the main rule differences between college and NFL? You touched on one before about just needing the one
toe foot drags
down. Do you know of any others major differences? Because there are a few. I did have a little bit of a look at this.
Oh, did you?
Just a little bit. Not,
off the top of my head, maybe might be kicking distances and things like that might be a little bit different.
Okay.
I don't think there's too much. So maybe the point after might be different.
Yeah.
The hashes are bigger. I know that much. So if you look at a field, they've got the hash marks in the middle of the field. They're closer together in the NFL. They're further apart in their college.
Yep.
Yeah. Can you push me in a direction of what's different?
I was going to say two that popped out to me was the down by contact rule.
Yep.
So in the NFL, a player is active until they're tackled. College players automatically ruled down when any part of his or her body, other than the feet, touches the ground.
Mm-hmm.
So you don't need that. But contact.
So down by contact, like you just have to brush them. It's not, you don't have to tackle.
Yeah.
Them. Yeah.
Just, no, you've just like hand on, stop
as
them.
As long
like,
as
that's
you're
you see.
Touching them. Like you
that's where you see a lot of those like fail videos where they don't, you know, contact him and the play goes
gets
on.
Up and runs away. Yeah.
Yeah. And then the other thing I saw, no 2 minute warning, college is non-existent.
Yeah.
And just a few other ones that they're quite technical. So not like, you know, they're not as, not as sexy to talk about, really.
And that's all about sex sales, baby.
No, that's what we're all about. But all right, to finish off, so we know that it's, well, it's got some of the biggest list of rules, you know, of major sports in the world. What are some of the stranger rules that you know of within the NFL?
Oh, strange rules. quite. Do you have any strange rules off the in your
list? I found some, like, but they were just weird. There's a lot of very strict rules about uniform. The placement of your pants in relation, like, they've got to be to your knees, and then your
socks. Well, it is a college. Yeah, like it's the old Catholic schoolgirl's got to be below the knees, all that kind of shit. So I don't think there's. I know there's a lot that they say it's about safety. Like, I'm pretty sure hoodies and that underneath. There's been a lot of tried hoodies underneath their jerseys and like hanging out the back. I think that got banned. There's not too many that I think are outrageous these days. It's all about safety. They try and bring it back to safety and all.
They say about safety, like the one about. You know, that your towel can only be tucked in the front of your waistband, and it has to be the 8x6 inch NFL approved special towel. And
a lot of you can't really self advertise a lot. I don't think.
No, you can't. Everything's got to be approved. And
I didn't know about the towel. That's a very interesting one.
Yeah, that's pretty specific and very technically specific. Technically, your jersey's meant to be tucked in while you're on field, and
yeah, that doesn't happen very often. You see that they wear undershirts and that, because I imagine like wearing. I've never
makes it go.
I've never worn the pads, but I imagine pads on bare skin wouldn't feel great.
No.
And you see those undershirts get ripped and pulled out.
It's going to be the same color as yeah.
Yeah.
No. Also, nothing like, nothing from like a strange play or, you know, anything that you've seen happen in the game.
It's not strange, but it's probably like the finite rules of like, I reckon there's a couple of times Randall Cobb's done it, like off a kickoff. You have your foot out of bounds, planted out of bounds, and you catch it, that's Canada.
Oh, and you reach back in and touch it?
That's Canada's out of bounds. Is that what you're talking about? Yeah. So,
That's Canada's Canada. Ball being kicked out of bounds. I've seen a couple of times.
He's laying on the floor, like full stretch, and touches it.
And the commentators are loving it because they're like, that's just about knowing the rules.
So things like that. Yeah, so that
props to him.
You get the ball back down at halfway, I'm pretty sure. Yeah, so little things like that, intricate things like that, and even like, not bending the rules, but like, yeah, they're not really rules, but like having the fourth down, like fake punts and all those kind of things, the rules behind fake punts and stuff, there's not many, I guess turnover on downs, if you don't make it on a fake punt, still, yeah, I don't know, they're just not how you play the rules is kind of... It's what I'm getting at. I like the way that...
Yeah, you can exploit them and things like
that.
Yeah,
that's it. So
yeah. Obviously, it's quite tricky for you to think off the top of your head, but there might be 100 times a season that you think, what was that?
But like, it's just knowing the rule. It's like to know to lay on the ground. Rule. Yeah. Well, yeah.
Reach back in and... Yeah.
And sometimes you look and you're like, why the fuck would you do that? So like if you're doing a short kickoff, has to go 10 yards.
Right. Is it still onside kick?
Onside kick has to go 10 yards. So if you're...
Has to travel forward.
Yeah. Has to go, past 10 yards. So it's kicked from the 25 or 35. Has to go beyond the 35 before your team can touch it.
Yep.
But if the opposition touches it within that 10 yards and then it goes down, then it's a fair ball, play on. So it happened to the Packers in an NFC Championship game. Like, it was within the 10 yards. He tried to grab it because you can see why. He grabbed it. It's game over. Come off his chest, went straight to the Seahawks. They ran down, scored, and win the game. Like, just things like that. You're like, just to know the rules that I don't have to touch this before the 10 yards and all those kind of things. But,
Yeah. No, brilliant, mate. You did well. You're very much under the spotlight today.
Yeah,
mate.
I like it.
You battled through. And now we'll rely on the listeners to help us out with anything.
That's good.
Anything that we've missed.
I look forward to hearing how many refs there are.
I think there'll be a few times we'll be pulled up here, but that's okay.
It's good. We work it through together.
One of the biggest rule books in professional sport. So what are you going to do?
And the intricate rules in there. And hey, if there is a rule that comes up during the year, we'll talk about it.
Absolutely, we will.
All right, let's move on to this week's games.
Just before you do, if anyone's got any suggestions for anything that's really been burning them for the Nuffy, send your suggestions in. We'll tackle it for you.
And I have had some, from our very own Brendo, he's getting a couple of mentions this week. I got one last week. I spoke to him and he said he loves this segment because he's really getting into it and learning some of the rules. Like, that'd be perfect for him to know some of the rules. So
hopefully it's helping.
My old man was the one who asked about the scoring, so We're getting out there.
Yeah, lovely.
We're getting out there.
Lovely.
It's good. But yeah, we do appreciate the let us know what you want to know, because like I don't want to sound like a flog, but I feel like I know a lot, so I don't think about the little things that you might not know. And like,
yeah,
I reckon that you've called me up a couple of times and been like, if I just talk about, you know, the P squad or something like, you're like, what the fuck is a P squad?
Yeah, that was the birthplace,
the practice squad, you know, like
the birthplace of the segment. So
yeah, feel free, if anyone's
thinking it, send it through to the social.
There's no stupid questions, just stupid people.
We will hook into it.
All right, on to week one. So there's some big games, and there was actually a game. What games any games you're looking forward to before we go through them?
Looking at my boys, the Raiders versus the Rams. That's at the Rams. But there's a couple of games that did pique my interest. So the Ravens and the Jets, because Joey Flacco is going to be starting for the Jets due to...
Hang on, you're versing the Chargers. You're not versing the Rams.
Oh, sorry, the Chargers. Idiot.
Yeah, I was just looking at it going, I'm pretty sure the Rams play Friday. But anyway, go on. Yeah, sorry.
Yeah, no, you're right. No, you're absolutely right. Jets and the Ravens.
Although, just Panthers, you did mention that, there is a rumour that old mate White might play. Two or three weeks off a sore knee, and apparently he might play. So I do agree. I'd like to see Joe Flacco
against
the team, but
yeah. Well, remember we were talking about they're not going to play him until he's 100%.
Yeah,
so
I can't see him playing. But just
and did you mean
fluttering those rumours? Mike White? No, that's the other one.
It's Wilson, isn't it?
That's the one.
It's Wilson. Yeah. So the Panthers and the Browns. Obviously Baker Mayfield. Yeah,
that'll be a grouse.
Gone across to the Panthers. So yeah, good to see him. How he goes against the old side. And who was the other one? There was one more in my soap opera games that, you know, the reality TV. Oh, Broncos and the Seahawks. So yes. Russell Wilson, obviously.
Yeah, which is the Monday night game.
The old team, Monday night team in Seattle. So, interesting to see what the reception from the Seahawks crowd will be like for Russell Wilson and how he goes against the old mob. But, they were the ones that sort of piqued my interest a bit.
Yeah, beauty. There was, and this is remiss of me, there was another one that, the soap opera for that is the NFL. Von Miller, he's gone from the Rams to the Bills this year on a six-year multi-million dollar deal. Bills Rams up Friday. So
That's Friday. Yeah.
Yeah, right. So there is three or four real, you know, just much watch kind of games. Like, I reckon it's grass.
Yeah.
So.
And obviously. Yep.
Sorry. No.
Hook in.
We are going to go through. So this will be part of, I'm going to pick against the spread as we talk about. We're not going to go into depth into the game. We'll just talk about who's playing who. And I'm going to pick against the spread as we go. And then, like I said, it is...
that's this week's multi. For
that'll be this week's real juicy multi. I'll give a multi one more multi for a game that I'll pick, but this is our real juicy. So we've given Gary Busey the flick. Because this is so
T-Mac.
Juicy.
This is the T-Mac. So we don't need Busey this week.
No, need it because this is the T-Mac special. I want to do this every week. So Gary might be sitting on the sidelines for a bit, but we'll see.
Yeah.
We'll see.
I don't mind.
We still have your bet, actually.
My round one bet. Yeah. I'll get that up.
I'll talk about that while I'm so the Bills versus the Rams at SoFi Stadium in LA. I think, in my opinion, I reckon the Bills, the Rams, so Matt Stafford's been on a bit of a like a throw count. So he's had a bit of like, they said it wasn't tennis elbow, but tennis elbow type symptoms. So he hasn't been actually training as much as others would be. I get that he's a veteran and he'll be fine, but I think Aaron Rodgers showed last year that sometimes you can't just show up and be, you know, off the back of limited to no training, because Aaron Rodgers last year, we had the real tumultuous off season, and so barely trained, and we got absolutely caned by New Orleans.
Mm.
So I see the Bills going into SoFi and absolutely tearing them a new one. You know, Josh Allen, probably the MVP favorite at the moment. You know, he's got Stephon Diggs, Dawson Knox, you know, saying being happy to be back in the building after the and loving being around the boys after his brother's passing. I just see them coming in. The line is at 3.5, 2.5. That's what I love about this week. You really got a chance because the bookmakers, they don't know how teams are going to go, which
sounds
stupid, but I reckon it gives you more of a chance if you're confident with what you've...
Well, they should be, yeah.
Yeah. So I've gone the Bills under.
Yep.
So minus 2.5 in that game. That's at 10:20 on Friday. I'll be definitely watching that one. On to the Sunday games. We've got the Saints versus the Falcons. So Saints at Falcons. Lines at -5.5. I'm going the Saints with this one. Falcons, a bit of a tumultuous offseason. They've got Mariota, I believe, starting, which he's got a lot to prove, but I just don't think they've got the weapons to go around him. Like he played pretty well at your boys, the Vegas Raiders, when he was a backup, but he had the players around him. Like he had Renfrow, he had Waller, and he was good to come in and, you know, be that the decoy to throw there. He was good on his legs. He is good runner, but I just don't see the Falcons having the weapons that the Saints, they've got Jameis Winston, and, you know, Michael Thomas coming back. He's going to be, you know, he was the Cooper Kupp before Cooper Kupp, you know, like, so if he comes back and he's any kind of healthy, he'll be awesome. Alvin Kamara, which we've spoken about having a suspension, still nothing's come of it. I don't know what's going on, whether they just keep pushing it back in the courts or anything. So he's free to play. So he's going to be...
What was his suspension for again?
So in the Pro Bowl last year, he got in a bit of a fight before.
Okay.
I think it was in an elevator or something, but he kicked the absolute... It might have been out at a club or something, but the day or the night before the Pro Bowl shows how much of a Mickey Mouse kind of game it is. Yeah, and he kicked the bejesus out of someone. So there was a lot of rumours that he'd get, you know, 6 to 8 weeks suspension, but it's still before the courts. So
nothing's come of it. Okay.
That's what, innocent till proven guilty, even though there's, you know, footage. but so he's still playing, so he'll play. So, yeah, gone New Orleans at -5.5 for that one. The Ravens versus the Jets.
Yep.
Which I've got here, but it's... Yeah, it is 3 a.m. I've got two different run sheets, one on the computer, one on my phone. It's perfect. I'm going to go off my phone because that's the one I'm... that's good. So I can actually just get out of that and actually watch you again, see your reactions. Is there any games you've looked at? Do you want to talk about any games, or am I just going to talk Triple this whole time?
This is all you, mate.
All righty, sweet. So the Ravens versus the Jets, they've gone... a lot of them will be a touchdown, so -7. I've gone Baltimore at -7 just because the Jets... Joe Flacco,
probably going to struggle.
They're going to struggle. He doesn't have the weapons around him. Lamar's in his Lamar year, so he's going to come out. He wants to reset the market next year, so he's going to come out. They've come out Harbaugh, which it's not John, who's the other one. Whichever the Harbaugh is, who's the coach, he's come out and said Lamar is focused and ready to go. So I like them at -7.
Yep.
San Fran versus the Bears. Also, 7 is also the line. The Bears, Justin Fields looking good. They've lost a couple of their... They lost Allen Robinson, who was probably their most productive receiver. He's gone to the Rams. Again, it's just a weapons kind of thing. You know, doesn't really matter how good Justin Fields is. They're no Aaron Rodgers. They're not making their receivers better. You know, they're going to rely on their receivers. So, I think San Fran, it's probably not a bad start for Trey Lance to have them. He does have weapons. He's got Debo Samuel. He's got Kittle in the middle. I reckon Kittle's going to be the safety blanket. So if I was to be, I don't know what his overs are this week, but I'd be going overs on Kittle. So, yeah, I see San Fran getting the job done by more than 7.
Yep.
The Panthers versus the Browns. So you do know a little bit about this one. How do you reckon Baker's going to go against his old side? Do you reckon he gets up and about, or do you reckon it's at Browns? Do you reckon Cleveland get into his head and really get under his skin? He does get he can get under his skin. He showed that in college. What do you reckon?
I think he's going to come out with quite a point to prove and a bit of a chip on his shoulder. So No, I'm expecting. Like, I want him to have a decent game. I kind of like the Panthers. I've got a bit of a soft spot for the Panthers. I don't mind them. Yeah. So no, I want Mayfield to come out and have a blinder.
He's got McCaffrey in the backfield. Like, if he gets back to any kind of form that he had probably 2 years ago, he's going to be. I reckon from memory, he was pretty much the number one running back a couple of years ago because he can catch it and run out of the backfield as well. So I reckon, again, the line's only -1.5 purely because of what kind of game it is. Pretty much whoever wins it is getting over or under that one. So I've gone Carolina under.
Yep.
Commanders versus the Jags. I actually had to have a think about this one. Commanders, again, they don't have great weapons. But they do have, I've forgotten his name, at quarterback, come across from the Colts. It's just whether the Jags can, first year without the Urban Meyer dramas. They've got the new head coach.
Yeah, trying to rebuild a new culture there. So.
You know, how does Trevor go as his second year? Still learning. But they lost. You had to say his name last week. Laviska Shenault, was that how he said it?
Yeah, we did.
So he left them. He was probably one of their strike weapons. So I do like the Jags this year, but I reckon the Commanders will get them early. So that's, again, 2.5 the line. So Commanders at -2.5.
Yep.
Eagles versus Detroit. Now, we've been hyped with Detroit watching the Hard Knocks.
Yes, yes.
We have been very hyped, but you've also seen a lot of, like, when they went down to Indy, Indy still wiped the floor of them when it was on the ones. So I think they're going to struggle a little bit early. And the Eagles, I reckon it's -4. The Eagles have got some weapons. They got Devonta Smith, Jalen Hurts. He's got a lot to prove out of at QB. So I reckon the Eagles comfortably beat the Lions. So -4 is a no-brainer there. Patriots, Dolphins. These are all the 3 a.m. games, by the way. I'll tell you when we swap time. The 3 a.m. Monday, if you want to get up.
Yep.
Patriots, Dolphins, a division rival. Patriots, so the Lions at 3.5. The Dolphins have got some weapons, so that's why they'll be minus. They've brought in Tyreek Hill. I think Mostert's gone there, Raheem from San Fran. And Tua's got to really step up this year. But I don't know what I like the Patriots at +3.5, so I've jumped on them at +3.5. It's in New England. Bill Belichick is the head coach. Mac Jones does Mac Jones things. Like, he's a ready-made quarterback. I can only see him going up this year, especially having a full preseason with Bill Belichick. And so another thing I like about this, right, so you come out of he went straight out of college, even though it was disrupted in COVID times. He went straight from college. Yep. If you're going high in the draft, you go straight to the draft combine. Then you're doing nothing but draft days, so you're not getting any rest even though you finished the season. And, like, he played pretty far into the season in college. And then you go straight from there, straight to the actual draft, and then you're straight into preseason training. So there is no downtime. So it's pretty much 2 years of just working. So a lot of them will fade out late in their first year, which I don't think Mac had too bad of a fade out, but it definitely hurts. So he's finally got some time to, a bit of Mac Jones time, and then he's had a full preseason under Bill Belichick. I can only see him coming out early and being an absolute beast.
I love it. Love where your head's at.
I've gone New England +3.5 there.
Yep.
Texans, Colts. We did say Jack come out 2 weeks ago and said the Texans are a rabble, and then they beat his 49-17 zip.
He did.
I like Dougie Mills, and I like Brandon really Cooks. Putting him back in the box. But the Colts, Matty Ice at quarterback, they're going to absolutely tear him a new one, I think. So 7 is the line. I've gone the Colts at -7. Still in the 3 o'clock game. We're getting through them. Bengals, Pittsburgh, the Steelers, which we spoke about early before we forgot about that Mitch Trubisky was the quarterback. Now, I've seen Mitch Trubisky a fair bit. I did forget. He's lost a couple of weapons as well. Juju Smith's left. He's probably their best wide receiver. They've got Diontae Johnson, who's going to step up this year. He'll be a gun. And their new bloke, I can't remember his name, George Pickens. He'll be good, but it's going to take a bit for them to move. I've seen a lot of Mitch Trubisky because he was at the Bears. I just don't like him. I reckon they're sooner rather than later, Kenny Pickett's going to be the Steelers' starting QB. So Maxie's Bagels, I reckon they're going to... It's only 6.5, so they only need one touchdown. They'll cover the Steelers.
Yep.
All right, 6:25 games. Kansas versus Arizona. So this was a tougher one. They've got Kansas at -6. Arizona, just it all depends on whether Kyler has done his 4 hours. Done his 4 hours this week. If he hasn't, then Kansas is all over him. If he has, then it's going to be tighter. But they don't have DeAndre Hopkins for the first 10 weeks. So that hurts them because he's their beast. So I do see that I went Chiefs -6 because it's at home. That was purely why. I don't have any more than that for you. It is at Kansas.
Are you sure?
Not now. I'm pretty sure it is. Let me check on this one. Uh-oh. It is not at Kansas. Uh-oh.
Not at home.
It's at Carolina. At least opposite. I said the Patriots aren't at home either. Oh, no.
At Arizona. No, they're not. I didn't even pick up on that. No, they're not.
The Australian punting has done it the normal way, where the home team is first, where all the American sports do it second. So I went the other way. Yeah, I wonder if that changes any of my tips. No, it doesn't. I still think the Chiefs will get it done. All right.
Yep. Yeah.
Tennessee at the Giants. Tennessee at -5.5. That's an easy one. I don't even need to talk about that one. Derrick Henry back.
It's the Giants. The Giants at Tennessee.
Even worse. 5.5 is...
That's trouble for the Giants.
Yeah, Derrick Henry, over 100 yards, I reckon, rushing.
Yeah.
Probably five touchdowns. I've got to remember saying this the other way. So it's Raiders at Chargers, yeah?
Yep.
I've got Chargers versus the Raiders. But so Raiders at Chargers, another tight one. We all know that I've got a little bit of a... Herbert crush, I guess.
Just a little bit.
Just a little bit. And I think it came out today that your man, Devontae Adams, said something about you don't understand how much him and your QB have gone through. They nearly died together.
It was a rafting accident.
So that's how close they are. They nearly died together. But I still think there's going to be a while ago. Well, they were in college together, so I'm presuming it'll be about that time. Yeah. I still think there's going to be a little bit of, maybe not between him and Devontae, but Devontae and the rest of the wide receiver core. Just a little bit of getting used to each other. It's at the Chargers, so the line's only 3, so I've gone Chargers at -3.
Ooh.
Sorry, mate.
Okay.
It's a rough start to the year to get Chargers at Chargers.
Yeah.
Mate, and their defense, they're going to shut you out, to be honest. Yeah, unless Devontae has 180 and 2 touchdowns, which he could, because they've died together. So, my Packers at the Vikings. The only thing that has saved me with this one is that the line is only 1.5. So, it's pretty much picking a winner, I reckon.
Easy, yeah.
It is a tough game, and I reckon it's our biggest rival in the NFC North. But I have gone with my heart and picked the Packers. Surprising. I just think we come out. Jones and Dylan will have a big day. Our boy, friend of the show, Alan Lazard, he'll be fine. He'll be cherry ripe. Sammy Watkins, I reckon he's gone a little bit under the radar this year. So he'll come out. He'll play pretty well. Just depends on... whether Kirk Cousins and Justin Jefferson, if they show out, then we might be in a bit of trouble. But I reckon we didn't. Joey might not have played the second time where Jefferson absolutely slaughtered us. So he'll shut him down. So yeah, 1.5. I've gone the Packers. And then a couple more to finish. Yeah. So that's a 6. I don't know. I'm going to have to get up early to watch that one. Then the Monday night game, Tampa Bay at Dallas. So this was the first game last year, and it ended up being an absolute cracker, Dallas at Tampa Bay. So they've reversed them. Bit odd that they play each other twice, but I like it because it was a cracking game. I have gone Tampa Bay at -2.5. I wasn't confident, but I just think CD Lamb has to really have a day out for the Cowboys, which he might, but he did drop a few early last year in that game. So I reckon the Bucs and Brady will do enough, but it'll be a tight contest, probably within 2.5. That's how tight it'll be. But I have gone the Bucs. I've gone the Bucs. And the last game, which is the Monday night game, Tuesday our time, the Seattle Seahawks versus the Denver Broncos. At Seattle. Thank you very much. I didn't say where it was. I just said who it was versed.
Yep.
The Broncos will get the job done, I think.
I think so.
You agree?
I agree.
You have anything more to say on that one?
No, I think Wilson will have a pretty good game.
Yeah, I agree.
I think he'll just be on from round one.
So 16 legs. I will. Yeah. I can post it.
You're gonna have to post this one up because
it's paying an estimated $27,460 if you get around it.
Say that again.
$27,460. And 76 cents. Let's not forget the 76 cents.
Beauty.
So that will be...
That's why we didn't need a Busey this week.
That is why we didn't need a Busey, yeah.
There's your juice right there.
Absolutely. So, and our other bet, which will give you the... You can kick us off. You've got your bet. If it wins... My bet's
still running.
You go again next week. If it loses, I'm on your tail and I'm taking over. So what's your bet?
Love it.
Rehash it for us.
It is the Bagels... At home, the Eagles at the Lions. I've gone the Panthers at the Browns and the Chiefs at the Cards. So just the four legger.
So Bagels, I picked the Bagels too. I picked the Chiefs. Who are the other two?
The Eagles and the Panthers.
We can both win. That's not what we want to hear.
We can. Mine's all just head to head.
Head to head, yeah. But it works out well. So if I win,
it does. It works out well.
I win. You win. And we all win. So that's what we want. We all
win. If you win, everyone wins. Yeah.
Are you going to get on it?
Yeah.
I only put like 27 grand. I put $1 on it, man. Like, I've gone.
That's all you need. That's all you need.
Yeah. So it's only going to cost me $17 for the year. And I could win 27 grand.
Just needs to get up once.
Just needs to win once. But
yeah,
that is us done for the week, mate. So next week, the plan is, I haven't really discussed this with you. Whether it's myself or I feel
some extra work coming on.
Possibly, but a little bit of a congratulations if you do get back to work with this week. That'll be huge for your knee brazzies or something?
The knee brazzies.
That'll be huge for you. So I hope you do. But I want to get out just after the Monday night game, so the Tuesday. I'll put out a results pod. You know, hopefully it's only 20, 25 minutes, just going through the results and any big game, like any big fantasy
news.
News, you know, because we do this fantasy season.
Starting.
And then we'll have our normal pod on Thursday as well. But they won't be as long because we'll be splitting me into two.
Yeah.
So there probably won't be as much news. It'll be a bit like today.
That's like today's is probably run a little bit longer with the round one review.
Yeah.
But that's okay.
Yeah.
Round one.
Because we won't have as much news either, I don't think.
People won't mind. They'll be excited.
Nah, I love it. That's good. But thank you as always for coming on, my friend. You have helped me out. You've been an absolute... I don't want people to realise how good you've been to me today. So I love it. They don't need to know why, but you are the absolute man.
They don't know. We know.
And thanks to Bogo, who I tested him out and he came on strong. So I appreciate Bogo coming on, and we'll have him on again.
That's good. I'm looking forward to that segment. I don't mind trying to watch a little bit of college ball.
Yeah. Now that we know the different rules between college and the NFL as well, so that'll help. But,
oh, yeah.
As always, mate, tell your friends, family, your neighbours, and tell your boss. So when you go in to shift tomorrow, make sure you let the SSO know. Let him know who we are, what we do. Make sure you tell him to give us a 5-star rating, leave a review, and set a little reminder because this will be hopefully dropping nice and early on the Thursday.
Mm-hmm.
You can find us on all the socials, AGS, AU Podcast, on Twitter. Instagram is anygivensunday.au. That's probably my most used platform. That's the one
I'm definitely most prolific. Yep. Yeah.
So Alan Lazard's all over that one, don't you worry. And then TikTok, YouTube, which will be more active. I'll have the Alan Lazard up on YouTube soon. And Facebook, they're all just Any Given Sunday Australia. But, appreciate you coming on as always, mate. You're the best.
No worries, mate. It's an absolute pleasure.
And enjoy this week, your first week of proper poppy cherry football. I love it.
I will, mate. I can't wait. See how many games I can get my head around.
Yeah.
That'll be the interesting thing.
I love it. I love it. But as always, mate, go the Packers. Nice.